We were most of the way down Gachbezandorf, I think, no. We were most of the way down Gachbezandorf, right? And when the lines are there, Klal Kol Sheyesh B'Musaf V'Chulei, right? The next line, the Mishnah is, this is a general rule, anytime you have Musaf, but no Yisra Malacha, you'll have four Aliyos and not three, not more, not less, right? And two examples of that are Musaf and Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, Ibailu, they asked the question, Tainis Sibur V'Chameh, how many Aliyos should a Tainis Sibur have? Rosh Chodesh Amod Yika Karban Musaf Arba'a V'Hacha Dalei Karban Musaf Loya Dilma Hacha Nami Yika Musaf Tefilah. The Gemara says, well, what about Tainis Sibur? Do you say a Tainis Sibur does not have a Korban Musaf, and therefore it should have three Aliyos, right? Or do you say, no, a Tainis Sibur doesn't have a Korban Musaf, but what it does have an additional tefillah. What's the additional tefillah we say about Tainis Sibur? Sorry? What? No. I'm sorry? So we do so those, say those, but they're not Me'ikra Din. They're not Me'ikra Din. So probably what it means, the simplest meaning, Imki, there are Rishonim who say it this way, including Rashi, but the simplest meaning is actually Ni'ila. Ni'ila is not a tefillah which is, I mentioned this before, it's not a tefillah which is meant only for Yom Kippur. We only say it on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the only time we have what's called a Tainis Sibur. Right? A Tainis which is obligatory for absolutely everybody, excluding Tish B'Av. Tish B'Av is a little bit different, right? There's an extra tefillah. Some people do say it really is an angel. Right? Because an extra bracha and tefillah. But that's why most people read it. The Torah is the simplest part in the Gemara. Okay. So it says, Tashma! Rora Sheikha Dashim Ocholosh Almoed Korin Arba. Have a tiny seber. Shloisha. The Gemara, didn't the Mishnah say that on Rosh Chodesh and Ocholomoed we say, read four aliyahs? That implies that on a tiny seber, only three. Right? And then the Gemara says, "Ima Risha b'Sheni v'Chamisha b'Shavas b'Mincha Gorin Shloisha." How tiny Sibur Arba? You can be medayek differently in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said on Mondays, Thursdays, and Mincha on Shabbos we read three, implying that on tiny Sibur it's four, right? So you can be medayek either way in the Mishnah. Elami ha'leikel Mishnah minayz. Can't work it out based on the Mishnah. You don't know. Toshma deravi kula bavol b'Sheni Sibur kam krav esifra. Pasav brich, chasim veloy brich. So, listen to this. Rav arrived in a shul in Bavel during a Tainis Sibur, right? And he opened the Sefer Torah and he said a bracha. And then he closed chasim. He finished reading veloy brich. He didn't say a bracha at that stage. We'll see exactly what the significance of this is in a minute. Nafol kule alma a'an payhu. And then everybody fell and did nafilas apayim. Right? But Rav loy nafal api. And Rav did not do nafilas apayim. Should be noted, what is the significance of it saying that he opened the sefer, said a bracha, and then he didn't, when he finished, he did not say a bracha? Why would he not say a bracha when he finishes the aliyah? You should have already learned this, no? Because Me'ikra Din, you say one bracha at the beginning of the Kriyas Torah and one bracha all the way at the end, and no bracha is for the middle aliyahs. Right? And we added them as part of the Gzeirah Mishunah and Chnasim V'Yotzin. No? So Rav is apparently before that Gzeirah.
Does that mean that the person who got the first aliyah would say the first bracha?
And the person who got the last aliyah would say the last bracha, nobody says any brachas
so
in the middle.
Then.
Yes. And Rav didn't say. I mean, the truth is, Rav a Kohen? I think Rav was a Kohen, but when we pass him the Talmud Chacham, gets an Aliyah before a Kohen. Bizman Azeh, we're not knowing that way because it leads to fights, because he's starting to know you're a. He's not a Talmud Chacham, I think I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham, at least all sorts of fights, right? So it's better to say the Kohen gets it, and the Levi gets it, and the Israel gets it, and Gamar, no? But Me'ikur Adin, a Talmud Chacham actually gets an Aliyah before a Kohen. So it says, Michti Rav B'Yisroel Kara, my time a chasam ve'lei barich. It says, Rav would have read the third aliyah, because Rav was not a Kohen, my mistake, right? And therefore, why didn't he say a bracha after he finished? He should have said a bracha. Right? Because the third aliyah is the last aliyah. Lav mishum devai lemikri acharina basrei. Doesn't it mean that they were planning to call somebody after him, implying there's a fourth aliyah on the Tainis Tzibur? So it says, Loi, Rav Bechahani Kara, Deha Rav Huna Kari Bechahani. Rav had an aliyah as the Kohen, the first aliyah, and just like Rav Huna would get aliyah as the would get the Kohen's aliyah. Why? Because Rav was a Talmud Chacham, and so he can get the first aliyah. He's entitled to it. Okay? Says Bishlam Ravuna Kari Behani the Harafilu Rav Ami Vravasi Dekani Hev Hashividar Israel Mechaf Kaifi Le Ravuna. Right, so it says Rav, I understand why Ravuna got the Aliyah of the Kohanim, why Ravuna would get the first Aliyah, because even Rav Ami and Rav Asi, right, who were very important Kohanim in Eretz Yisroel, right, they would listen to Rav Huna. And Rav Huna was the biggest Talmid Chacham of the generation. And therefore, everybody would listen to him. And therefore, even though they were very important Kohanim in the generation, Rav would get the Aliyah before them. However, Ela Rav, Ha'ika Shmuel, Dekahana Havei, Vedavar Aleh. Says, the Rav had a famous person who argued with him on everything. And we don't always pass him like Rav. Shmuel, and Shmuel really was a Kohen. Therefore, Rav shouldn't have taken the Kohen's Aliyah when there was a Talmid Chacham in the generation who could also take the Aliyah and who was a Kohen. Yeah. Right, really, Shmuel had both.
It
doesn't have to be in the shul, was it? It has to be Rav. I mean, usually we see it in the same shul, but the Gemara here is not learning it that way. Not certain why. It's a good question. Right, I'll look it up. I'm actually really not certain. Right, Shulchan Aruch says a Talmid Chacham can get an Aliyah if it's the only person in the Shul, and it seems to be in Feresh Gemara in Tainis, but I'll check it for you. Thank you. So then the Gemara says, Shmuel Nami Meicha Chavi Kaif Le Rav, Veravu De Avad Le Kavi. No, Shmuel really did have to listen to Rav. It's not true That Shmuel was able to sit on top of him. That Shmuel could be the Av Bezdin when Rav was around. It's not true that Shmuel was just as important as Rav. He wasn't, but Rav gave Shmuel lots of kavod, and therefore Rav really could take the first Aliyah, even though there was a Kohen who was very important in his generation. If you're wondering for a reason why that might be the case, the simplest reason, Gemara Bekoru says that Rav had what's called Smichas Eretz Yisroel, meaning he had an unbroken line of smicha given in Eretz Yisroel, Rav to Talmud all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav was one of the Talmudim of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, right? Shmuel was also a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. However, Shmuel did not have Smichas Eretz Yisroel. He never got smicha from Rebbe, and therefore, in that sense, Rav actually could do more than Shmuel could. Okay. And therefore, when Rav wanted to give a big cover to Shmuel, but Shmuel was still a very big Talmid Chacham, right? Rav would do it when Shmuel was around. But when Shmuel wasn't around, he acted like the most important person around, like the most important person in Babel, because he was. Okay? So it says, Hachi nami mistavra de Rav Lechani, krodi salka daitach b'Yisrael, kora lefanea maitayma barich. So then the Gemara says, it's obvious anyway that he got the first Aliyah. Now, why is it obvious he got the first Aliyah? Because he said the bracha before the Aliyah. He said the bracha before the Aliyah, he must have gotten the first Aliyah. We just said that you read the bracha before the first Aliyah, and you read a bracha after the last Aliyah. So clearly, if Rav read the bracha before read the bracha that comes before Kriyas Torah, he read the first Aliyah. Yeah? And it says, Lachar Takana. Now maybe it was after they'd already established the bracha before every Aliyah. Ziyachi lacharea nami livrich. In that case, why didn't he say a bracha before and after? If it was after the takana had been made to say brachas before and after every single Aliyah. The Gemara says, Shaini heka de yasiv Rav, de me'el aili meifak le nafki. In the place where Rav lived, people really would come late. And so they established that you should say a bracha before every single Aliyah. But they didn't establish a bracha after every Aliyah, because once people were in shul, they didn't leave. They might come late, but they don't leave before the end of the davening. They're from that way. Okay? continue. Tashma. Zakal, kosher yesh by bitul melach la'am, gagain tiny sibur, vesisha ba'av, korin shlesha. Vashayim by bitul melach la'am, and Rashay Kadashim, vachol cholosh moed, korin arba, shma mina. So the Gemara says, any time that there is going to be bitul melach, when it's going to cause people to be late for work, right then, like, and that's, times like that are a tisha ba'av and a tiny sibur, you only have three aliyos. If you're not making people late to work, because they're anyway not going to work, like Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, when really you're not meant to work if you don't have to, right? Then you can really read four aliyos, right? So that tells us that conclusively there are only three aliyos and a tiny sipper. Yeah? So Ravashi say, but didn't the Mishnah say any, we're returning to Adiyuk in the Mishnah, any day which has Musaf but doesn't have an Isra Malacha, you read four Aliyos, and that comes to include, Kol Yom comes to include Tanis Sibur. Why do I need to give a general rule? If I've already told you that Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh might have four Aliyos, then why do I need to tell you a rule as well? It's enough. There's no third case. Right, there's no third case where there's Korban Musaf and no Isra Malacha. Those are the only two possibilities. Therefore, if I say a rule, I must be adding something that you wouldn't know otherwise. What's the thing I wouldn't know otherwise? A tiny sibur, right? Because it has what's called Musaf Tefillah. It has additional davening. Ula Rav Ashi Masi Simani. In that case, who wrote our Mishnah? That would make our Mishnah inconsistent with the Braisa. Leitza Nakana. Veloy Rabbi Yosi. It's not going to be Tanakam and it's not going to be Rabbi Yosi. Why? The son, yes, we have an embrace. Achal Yos b'sheni v'chamishi korin shlisha umaftir echad. B'shlishi uri yakura echad umaftir echad. Rabbi Yosi mer lo'ilam korin shlisha umaftir echad. So our Mishnah is inconsistent with both opinions in the Braisa that we just said, right? The Braisa said that if the tiny sibur falls on Monday or Thursday, then you have three aliyos and an haftarah, right? And if it falls on any other day, there's one aliyah and a haftarah. Then Rabbi Yosi says, and this is really the way we hold, any day there are three aliyos and a haftarah, right? But one way or another, nobody's saying four aliyos. No? So who wrote the Mishnah according to Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi still has a good point. The Mishnah still did bring a general rule in addition to two specific cases, implying there must be another case which is covered by that general rule. Right? Says why? Lastly, Rosh Chodesh and Moed. No, says the Gemara. That comes to tell us that you'll read four Aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. What's the problem? I knew that anyway, right? I don't need a general rule, as I assume what that very, very odd expression on your face was saying, right? How the head you kasani la? The Gemara says that doesn't make any sense. I knew that without you giving me any rules. The Gemara says on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed you read four aliyahs. I don't know what you want from me. I don't need a rule to tell me that. This general rule doesn't come to include an extra case. What it does come to do is it comes to give us an explanation for why on Chol HaMoed we only have four aliyos. What would you have thought? You would have thought that since Chol HaMoed is really part of the Moed still, it'll be like Yom Tov and there'll be five aliyos. Or there'll only be four on Yom Tov, one way or another. Right? This comes to tell us that no, because there is an additional thing on those days, what on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, there's Korban Musaf. There's no Isra Melacha, but there is something on top of Mondays and Thursdays because there is a Korban Musaf. So you add an aliyah. And that comes to teach us that every single day where you add a halacha, you add an aliyah. Yeah? Hilkach, therefore, Rosh Chodesh and Moed, Dika Korban Musaf, Korban Arba. Therefore, on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, because there's a Korban Musaf, but no Isra Melacha, you read four aliyos. But Yom Tov, Da'asr, Basi, Isra Melacha, Chamisha. Yom Tov already is an Isra Melacha, you read five. We've added something, and therefore we add an aliyah as well. Right? But Yom Kippur, Da'anish Kares, Shisha. Right? On Yom Kippur, there's an Isra Kares, it's not just an Isra Lav. Yom Tov is an Isra Lav, you get Malkus if you break it, Bemezid, right? Yom Kippur is an Isur Kares, therefore, six aliyas. Shabbos, the Ika Isur Skila, Shiva Shabbos, because it's an Isur Skila, it's an Isur Mitzvah Bezdin, right? The Bezdin will put somebody to death for breaking Shabbos. So, there are seven aliyas. Shabbos is Kares in the absence of a Bezdin, but theoretically, the Bezdin can give a death penalty for breaking Shabbos. As opposed to Yom Kippur.
Absence of a
Bezdin,
it's
No, because the principle is still really Isur Mitzvah Bezdin. Right now, we can't carry that out. Okay, now we're going to get back to talking about the story about Rav coming in the middle of a tiny Sibra to Babel. Gufa, Rav. Sorry, I should ask. Any questions about that? In China, we want them. Yeah. Yes. Always. Skila is the most. It's a machlokes tanaim in Sanhedrin, right? Skila, the rule that we assume is skila is the most chamor, followed by sreifa, followed by saif, meaning chopping. Skila is not. By the way, for record, skila, just so you know, skila does not mean stoning someone. Skila means chucking them off a cliff and then dropping rocks on them, right? Sreifa doesn't mean burning them. Sreifa means pouring boiling lead down their throat, burning them from the inside. Right, and that's the second most chamor of Demisa's Bezdin. The third most chamor is Saif, which is chopping off their heads, what it sounds like. Right? And Chenek means strangling them. The way they would do it is they would basically have two teams of people pulling ropes around somebody's neck, so their neck is snapped straight away. It wasn't a hanging. Right? That's the least chamor of Mrs. Bezdin. Then after that, right, you have Kores. Right? Is the next most chamor thing after Mrs. Bezdin. Then there's Mitzvah B'dei Shamayim, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kill you. Not Bezdin, and you won't. Kores has consequences in Olam Haba. Mitzvah B'dei Shemayim does not. Then there's Malchus, right? That's the least chamor thing you can get for violating a law of Daraisa. Malchus, getting beaten up. Right, they can whip you. Yeah?
What is Ariri?
Ariri is either the same thing as Kores, or it's a subcategory of Kores. Tosis at the beginning of Yevamos has a whole deal in there, trying to work out what the difference between Kores and Ariri is. It might be either Ari is like an upgraded version of Kores where you also aren't going to have any kids, or it's part of the definition of Kores and you're not going to have any kids.
Don't we say Kores is also applicable for Olam Haba and Mita Beit is almost Kapara or a starting Kapara?
Yeah, but Mrs. Bezdin includes a Kores. Right, that was the question before. Shabbos is an Isur Kares bizmanazeh because we don't have a Bezdin that can carry out a Mrs. Bezdin. Okay? Cool. The reason why I said it's Machlokes Tanaim is because Rabbi Meir has a different opinion. He says there's Sreifa and then Skila and then Chenek and then Saif. He changes the order of the Mrs. Bezdin. Everything else he agrees with. Okay, fine. Gufa Rav Ikula Bavel Batayni Sibur. Rav arrived in Bavel for a tiny Sibur. Kam Kara Besifra Pasach. Baruch Hashem Lai Baruch. He read from the Torah, he said the first bracha, he did not say the last bracha. Nafal Kuli Alma Ampayim. Then they did Nefilas Apayim. But Rav Loi Nafal Ampayim. Rav did not. My time a Rav Loi Nafal Ampayim. He says, look, Rav, why didn't he? Ritzpa shelav on him haisa the sanya ve even maskis lo sitnu ba khatem le brat chem li shtakha vesa lea lea ita ma shtakha ve brat chem aval ta mishtakha ve alav anim shel beit ha mikdash. Right, so then the Gemara says, why the reason why Rav did not do Nefilat Apayim is because the floor where Rav was made from stone, right? And we assume the pasuk says you're not meant to have an Evan Maskis, right? Meaning you're not meant to have a stone that you bow down upon, right? We'll explain this a little bit more in a second. And you're not meant to do Hishtachavaya, right? Therefore, you're not meant to bow down on any stone except for the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah? I'm sorry?
They actually bow down?
So they didn't bow. They didn't bow down. What they did do was, so the Gemara will explain in a minute. So I'm going to skip that question for a second, because the Gemara is going to answer it. Okay. Kide ula damar ula lois aloyasa Torah el arispa shel avanim bilvad. Right, and this is like the opinion of Ula. Right. Because Ula says the only thing you're not allowed to bow down upon is a stone floor. If it was a wood floor, a carpeted floor, you name it, you are allowed to bow down. But a stone floor, you're not allowed to bow down. By the way, this is the reason why the minhag exists, and it's a good minhag, to put something on the floor when you're bowing down on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Right? Because you're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. Okay? So then the Gemara says, the obvious question, if it's an Isidore right to bow down on a stone floor, and Rav wasn't doing Nefilas HaPayim because that was what was going on, then why was everybody else doing it? Right? Nobody should have been doing it. Rav should have yelled at them. It's an Isidore right? Right? So, Kame de Rav Havai. So, the Gemara says... The stone, it was basically a patch of stone on the floor, right? And Rav happened to be standing at the perfect position on the floor where he would be forced to bow down on the stone. Everybody else was standing on carpet, right? So then the Gemara says, the lazel gabi tzibur v'limpol alape. The Gemara asks the obvious, but wait, if that was the case, why didn't he move and bow down, do an ifil tapayim, you know, 2 feet over?
Where does the first answer appear? Yeah.
Kami de Rav Havai. In front of, it was in front of Rav. It's a literal translation, right? The stone was in front of Rav. And then the Gemara says, so move. Move 2 feet over to where the tzibur is, and then you'll be able to do the fields of payim on the carpet or the wood or whatever the floor was made of. Right? And then if he did that, he'd have to push people out of the way, they'd have to move out of his way, whatever, and no good. He was just gonna, he'll just not do Nefil's Paim. He didn't want him to be a bother. Or maybe you'll say something a little different. Rav Pishut Yadayim Veraglaim Ave Avid Chudulodam Ula Le Asra Torah Ela Pishut Yadayim Veraglaim Bilvad. Rav, when Rav did Tachanun, when Rav did Nefil's Paim, he didn't do it like what we do, where he sort of sits down on a chair and puts his hands on his arms. No. Rav would lie down on the floor, stretching his hands and feet out, the way you bow down in the base of Mikdash. And it's like what Ullah said, that's the only thing that's asr. If it's anything other than that, it's actually mutter. Only stretching out your arms and hands on a stone floor, that sort of bowing down, is asr midoraisa. Rav's minhag was to do tachanun that way. So Rav, the whole floor was stone, and that wasn't a problem for anybody else because everybody else was doing tachanun differently. Right? Either like what we do or something somewhere in the middle, but they weren't stretching out their arms and legs. Velipul ala pei veloili avid pishyadayogai. This is the part I don't understand. So he's in a place of the stone floor, just full on, just doing it, feels fine, say tachanun, without stretching out your hands and feet. Lonara. Right? He'll do it a little bit less this time. Right? Simply Mishani Minhagi. The Gemara says, no, his minhag was to do pishyadayim raglaim, so he kept doing pishyadayim raglaim. Right? And if he couldn't do that, then he didn't do tachanun. That was tachanun for him. Okay? You might say a third answer. Adam chashuv shayni keder Rabbi Eliezer, damar Rabbi Eliezer, and Adam chashuv rashi lepol up and avelim kin neaneki yeshu ben dum disturbi yamer Hashem al shev kum lechav goimer. Maybe you'll say something a little different. That an other he Rav was a very important person, as we've already said. Rav was the most important person in Bavel, right? Therefore, right. And a very important person shouldn't say tachanun unless they're absolutely certain that HaKadosh Baruch will answer the tefillahs. Because that's what happened with Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun would daven, and straight away HaKadosh Baruch would tell him, get up, I've heard you, I'm going to do what you said. So unless you're going to get that sort of response, a very important person should never do tefillahs apayim. Right? And Rav, since Rav did not have the assurance that he would be answered in that fashion, he couldn't do Nefilas HaPayim at all. Right?
That's not halacha, right?
I think we do pass in that way, but we don't have people as important as Rav anymore, so it's no real enough coming into it. By the way, if you're interested in the reason why, a lot of Rosh Hashanah say it's because people will see that the Rav, that a Rav is like davening really hard and he's getting really into it and he's not getting answered, people lose faith. Right, so it's very, very dangerous. Right, they won't understand that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do what he said is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was other cheshbonis. Right, they'll think that there's just no God, there's nobody listening, there's no point in davening. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Kida al Apayim Shenemar Vatikoy Basheva Apayim Arts. Right? The rabbis told the Braisa, Kida, the word Kida means you bow down on your face. Right? This is actually, by the way, what we do with Mazel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, no? Even though the Beit HaMikdash, which we're imitating, they did Hishtach Havaya, these days what we do, probably because of lack of room, is we actually just put our forehead on the floor, or on whatever it is that we put on the floor. I'm sorry? Yes. Yeah, they would be Hishtach Havaya, right? So it says, Kida means they put their forehead on the floor. As the Pasuk says, Basheva placed her face on the floor. But he could apay, her face, alright, on the floor. Kriya al-Birkayim. Kriya means you would do it on your knees. You get down on your knees and then put your forehead on the floor. Mechinemer michra al birka, because the pasuk says michra al birka, michra on his knees. Therefore, the knees must be involved. Hishtachava zupish yadayim berglayim. Hishtachava, that's stretching out your hands and feet. Chinemer avoy navoy ani veimecha veachichel hishtachava yitzacharza. Right? Because Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, will you and your mother, will I and your mother, who's already dead, right? And your brothers all come and bow down to you on the floor? Implying Arza, you're fully on the floor.
Then like what? Like flat?
Yeah.
Start, like
yeah, it's a total prostration on the floor. If you're, by the way, if you're thinking of the symbolism, if you lie down in front of someone on the floor, then what are you doing? You're totally vulnerable, right? And with your, it's an expression of that person's total control and total power over you. So Levi Achoy Kida Kami De Rav Ve'itla. Right, Levi would bow. He would do Kida. He would bow down until his head reached the floor in front of Rav Ve'itla, and he ended up injuring himself doing it.
What does it mean in front of Rebbe?
Front? Sorry?
What does it mean?
It means he had so much respect for his Rebbe. Levi was a Talmud of Rebbe. So whenever he saw his Rebbe, he would bow down until his head reached the floor. In the end, he ended up injuring himself doing this.
I was going to say in Sukkah there was some like maneuver that
only one person could do. That's Komets, no? That's this thing, right?
No,
Rav Kivitzer,
it was
a
single based
rabbi.
I think it was, well, I'm not sure who the rabbi was, but he had this like special move that he used to do at the
single based rabbi that no one could imitate. Oh, no, 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 no. Akida is hard to do, right? I'm assuming you all know that bowing down while not putting your knees on the floor is not that easy.
Yeah, but.
Right, putting your forehead on the floor without your knees is not so simple. No? You need to be quite flexible to pull that one off.
You put your hands on it as well, but then it's...
Assume you can, but still.
Then it's like a push-up.
Are you doing push-ups in front of your Rebbe? Anyway. Veha ka garmale. Right, the idea is that he Vehaka Garmale he. Oh, he's saying, is this really what caused him to get injured? That's not why he got injured. That he could do. He was a very flexible guy. This one he could actually pull off. What was the problem? He says, "V'ahaba Rabbi Elazar lo'ilam al yatiach adam davarim lakapi meila shari adam gadol hitiach davarim kapi meila v'itla umanu Levi." Right? But didn't Rabbi Elazar say you should never be arrogant in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Because if you do, you'll really get it. You'll get injured. And who's the person this really happened to? Who's the important person this happened to? Levi. Right? So you can see he should be very, very modest about before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, implying that it was his arrogance that caused him to get injured and not the fact that he was bowing down before Rebbe. So he says, no, have a hagarmale. It was a joint effort, right? I don't know. Presumably the idea is that he was being punished for his arrogance, but the way it ended up happening was because in the middle of this bow or something. Right? It was the two things together. Okay. Shkoyach, gentlemen. We are caught up.